it's really made me think. As a matter of fact, it's probably one of the reasons I actually got into the series, the financial series that I'm in right now. And it's one of those things that I always seem to avoid. I've actually avoided it for the 20 years of my ministry, is talking about this type of stuff. Every once in a while, I'll talk about finances and money and things like that. But it's always turned me off, because it seems like that's one of the things that being emphasized in the church so much. And so I've always steered away from it. And I can't anymore. It, not because of what's going on in the church, but because of what God's doing in my heart. It is absolutely, fantastically amazing. I just, it's so cool. And I want to tell you at the very beginning, this is an amazing church. Walnut Community Bible Church is an absolutely amazing church. It is probably the most giving, sharing, need-meeting church I have ever not only been a part of, but have ever experienced. This place has been so giving and so interested in missions and reaching out with the gospel of Christ. Everything it seems like we do, almost every dime that we spend around here, is with the intent of expressing the gospel in the world or in our community in some way, shape, or form. It's absolutely incredible. And I don't want to say proud of that, but I am grateful to be a part of that in so many different ways. And so that's why this whole thing has been such a struggle for me, because literally I have sat in my office for hours and on the road for hours wondering why in the world are we in this position right now, when it seems like we've been so faithful, and I believe we have been so faithful with all the finances that God has ever provided for this church in so many different ways. And I've struggled. I thought, man, are we missing something? We have done something wrong. I've gone over and over this. And finally, I came to the conclusion that no, I don't really think that we are. I think God wants to take us and our hearts to the place that he really designed finances to be. And so this morning, I want to share with you with great joy an illustration that just, I cannot stop smiling this morning. I really can't. I'm going to start it off with this. It's so cool. And I'll explain the end of it later. But this morning, I have this little routine that I go through on Sunday mornings when I come. I don't know if everyone knows that, but I get up very early in the morning. Now that we're on the farm, I go out and do my chores and stuff. I come in, take my shower, try and figure out what in the world I'm going to wear, because you didn't lay anything out for me this morning. Anyway, so I get dressed. I go out and do my thing. I get into the truck, and I drive to church. And if you notice where I always – does everyone ever notice where I park at? During the week, I always park right here by the board, but on Sunday morning, I always pull all the way over, and I've got my little special spot. It's in the far corner of the parking lot. I guess I could go all the way down that way, but anyway, my key doesn't work in that door, so I always park in the far corner of this parking lot, and there's a reason that I do that. Honestly, it's something that I do very intentionally, because I want to create the easiest possible way for a visitor or anyone coming to our church, the closest parking spot. And so I try to take the furthest parking spot away that I possibly can in order to create a new space for people. So this morning, I get in my truck and I start heading towards the church. And I get to, I live on Baseline Road, and I get to Indian Head Road right there at the stop sign. And all of a sudden, I push in my clutch to go to the stop sign, and my clutch would not go down. And I thought, if you've seen the inside of my truck, you probably realize what I first thought. Oh my goodness, what piece of junk do I have underneath my clutch right now? Because my truck is a mess. But I push on the clutch and it didn't go down. I push harder, and then I look down real quick, because I'm coming up the stop sign pretty quick. I'm still in gear. And I looked down, and it just wouldn't press down, and my truck was going, so I had to grind it out of gear and come rolling up to the stop sign and stuff like that. The clutch went out on my truck. And it was so awesome. And I don't mean awesome. I'm being facetious or upset or being funny or goofy like that. I literally started laughing and smiling and praising God and saying, Lord, you are so cool, so awesome. I thank you. I praise you. I love you. You are absolutely the best. And I say that in complete and total sincerity. You can even ask my wife. I called her up. She wasn't real happy with me. I called her up and said, I'm stuck. I need to ride real quick. She come, she's driving. And I get in the car and she goes, oh, now we got a truck. And I was like, isn't it great? And she's looking at me like, what is wrong with you? Was I upset? And anyway, I was like, this is so cool. It's awesome. And I mean that so sincerely. I truly and honestly do. God is so good. Oh my goodness, he's so good. He is looking at the very details of our lives, and He is speaking, talking. He is interacting with us. He's wanting us to see him in every moment, in every turn of our lives. It will just open our hearts up and recognize it. And here's the whole reason I'm saying that, because here in a little while, I'm going to tell you why it's so awesome. You're going to figure it out, and it's going to just change your life, because it has changed my life. It truly has. It's changed my life. This whole series that I've gotten into and this whole study has changed my life. Probably more than I've been changed in the last 5 years. This has changed my life, and I am so grateful for it. And honestly, I would not have gone there. I would not have started this study if we were not in the situation that we're in right now. And so I praise God for the financial situation that we're in right now as a church, because it opened my mind and my heart. It's not a bad thing. It's an amazing thing. It is an amazing, incredible, awesome gift. And you've got to get that and understand it, all right? Because the way that we deal with our stuff and our finances and all these different things is so, I didn't realize how vitally important it is in our relationship with God. It's vitally important. Take a look with me. There's one principle. You guys, okay, we have to all start off on the same foundation. If we don't start off on the same foundation, we're never going to be in agreement in any way, shape, or form. So this is the Bible. Amen. Everyone sees this? This is my Bible. No, this is the Bible. And I believe this Bible with all my heart. I believe this Bible was inspired by God. I know that there were a lot of different authors, a lot of other people that wrote it down, but they were inspired by God to write the words that are in this Bible. I believe with all my heart God inspired the men who decided what was going to go into this book. I believe he inspired them to put just the right books of the Bible in this binding right here. I believe that each word is the word of God. I believe it is truth. I believe this is God speaking to us, and it is completely correct. And right, infallible, some people like to say. I believe that. There's a lot of things I don't understand. A lot of things I cannot explain. A lot of things that I'm just like, ugh, this seems so counter logical in my mind. It doesn't seem to make much sense. But I have come to the conclusion that if God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. I know that sounds very weird to some people, but that's how I've come to, because I've recognized in my life, when I start thinking I know more than what this book is talking about, I find I hit a major roadblock. And so, you don't have to agree with me right now, but I want to show you something that God says about himself here, okay? So, and this is paramount to where we're going. If we don't have this, we're not going anywhere. Turn with me in Exodus chapter 19. We're going to hit a couple quick verses here. Exodus chapter 19. Begin at verse, I don't know, we can go all the way up to verse 1. It says, in the third month after the Israelites left Egypt, on the very day they came to the desert of Sinai, after they set out from Redim, they entered the desert of Sinai, and Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, this is what you are to say to the house. I know I'm reading quickly before you guys got there. I understand that, but hang with me here. He says, this is what you are to say to the house of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, the frogs, the gnats, all the different plagues, all those different things. You saw what I did. You saw it firsthand, he says. You saw what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations, you will be my treasured possession. I should probably stop there because we're talking about treasures, but it's not, because it's the next part that's the most important. He says, although the whole earth is mine. Do you hear what God just said there? God says, the whole earth is mine. You'll be, for me, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. God says, the whole earth is mine. Take a look with me in Deuteronomy. There's a few pages back here. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 14 says, to the Lord your God belong. Let's back up verse 12, give you a little context so you don't think I'm just pulling things out of the air. Verse 12, and now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. Verse 14, to the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth, and everything in it. Yet the Lord set his affections on you, on your forefathers, and loved them, and he chose you, their descendants, above all the nations as it is today. Circumcise your hearts, therefore. Do not be stiff-necked any longer, for the Lord your God is of Lord your God is God of gods, the Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. You know why he doesn't accept any bribes? Because he has it all. There's nothing that you can give him, because it's already his. You see what it says? To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth, and everything in it. He's not going to accept your bribe because it's already his. Take a look with me in Job. Job 41. Job is right before Psalms. Job 41. Verse 11 says this: who has a claim against me that I must pay? This is God speaking. Who has a claim against thee that I must pay? Everything under heaven belongs to me, God says. Everything under heaven belongs to me. Did you get that? Take a look at Psalm 24:1, probably the most popular one. Psalm 24:1. Says this: the earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Did you hear that? The earth and everything in it, and all who live in it, are his. They're his. Take a look with me in Psalm 50. It says, I know. Let's back up to verse 7. 57. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I do not rebuke you for your sacrifices. Listen to what it says. I do not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are ever before me. I have no need of a bull. Listen to what he says. I have no need of a bull from your stall or of a goat from your pens. For every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills are mine. I know, listen, I love this. I know every bird in the mountains, and the creatures of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine, and all that is in it is mine. Do you hear what he says? Okay, so we could be done here pretty quick. What did we just learn? God owns it all. It's all his. Do you really believe that? I've heard that. I've heard that my whole life. I kind of grew up in church, I've heard a lot of preaching sermons on money and giving and all this other stuff. I've heard that. It's been implanted. I've heard that. Do you believe it? I mean, it's written right there. Over. I can show you a bunch. If you'd like to see some more, I can show you a whole bunch more. I got a big old list. Big old list. Do you believe it? Do you believe that the earth, the heavens, all that we know, everything is his? Do you really believe it? I've heard it. I thought about it. I contemplated it. But I don't know that if I ever really believed it. I believe it now. I really do. And it is the most awesome, freeing, amazing truth that has awesomely changed my mindset. It's changed my mindset. Do you realize if you look in Haggai chapter 2, verse 8, it says all the silver and gold. Who's that belong to? All of it. Not just the stuff that we've already found and made into little coins and nuggets and all these other and big old bullions and stuff like that. Even the stuff that's still in the ground. Who does that belong to? Whose is it? Okay, I got one Kirsten hanging with me. Who does it belong to? Whose is it? God. Okay, so let's say that we took that value like we've done in Fort Knox, and we put all the gold and silver in Fort Knox, and then we made our own little money that's really not as expensive as the money that it's supposed to stand for and stuff like that. You know, your quarter really isn't worth about, that quarter is worth, the metal in that quarter or whatever is only worth, what, half a cent? Something like that at the very most, but it's worth 25 cents because of the whatever, the value behind it, which really isn't there anyway. But anyway, all that belongs to who? God. It's his. Completely and totally. Matter of fact, if you want it from someplace besides Haggai, because that's in the Old Testament, we're New Testament people. You know, New Testament people. Okay. So Jesus one day was out there teaching. These guys wanted to come up and try and trick him. You guys remember this story? And they had the foolproof plan of tricking Jesus. They came up to Jesus and they said, Jesus, we got a little problem. He says, should we pay taxes to Caesar? You remember this question? You guys remember this? They came up and said, hey, it's going to trick him. We're going to get him in trouble. Should we pay taxes to Caesar? And Jesus says what? He says, you got a denarii? You got a coin? You remember the story? And one of them actually had one, and they pulled it out. He says, let me see that. And he looks at it. He says, whose picture is this? And whose inscription is this on this coin? And he said, well, that's Caesar's. And you remember what Jesus said? He says, give unto Caesar what is Caesar. He's got his name and he's got his face on it. Well, give it to him. If he thinks it's his, give it to him. But he says, even more importantly, what? Give unto Caesar what is Caesar's, but give to God what is God's. What did Jesus just say? Give it all. Because it all belongs to him. It all belongs to him. Not only does it all belong to him, but if you take a look with me, in 1 Samuel chapter 2, I'm loving this. Some of you already tuned out, but hang with me. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Is this right? 1 Samuel, that's what I have written down. I don't know. We'll see. Oh, 1 Samuel chapter 2. Let's start verse 6. Give it a little context. The Lord brings death, and he makes alive. He brings down to the grave, and he raises up. Verse 7. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and exalts. Now take a look with me in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Other way, Alden. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Verse 18. Back up to verse 17. You may say to yourself, and some of us do, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. So a lot of us think in a lot of different ways. We don't actually say that, but we actually think it. It says, but remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is today. So not only does he own it all, but he also gives you the ability to do the things that you are doing. He's given you your gifts, your strengths, your understanding, your power. Not only does he own all the things, but he owns all the intellectual. Can I say that? All the intellectual, what do they call those things? The intellectual what? Rights. All the intellectual properties. To even be able to produce it. He's the one that gave you that amazing idea. He's the one that gave you the strength. He's the one that taught you how to throw a rope. All that you are and all that you have and all that you will ever be comes from him. And not only that, not only does he own all the things, and not only does he own all the intellectual property behind all the things, but you know what the greatest thing that he owns that's his?
Us.
Is you. You're his. We're not just talking about cows and goats and sheep and squirrels and birds and all the different things like that. You are his greatest treasure because you were made in his image. And listen to me, you belong to him. As a matter of fact, it tells us unashamedly, you were bought at a price. Not only were you already his, when you were created, you were already his. But you were already his, and he already owned you because he created you, but he bought you again. Have you ever had to pay for something twice? You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to name any names or anything like that, but do you know anyone? I'm not even going to look in that direction, but do you know anyone who they own something that's a value, they bought it. Let's just make up something quick. Like they bought a car, okay? And they bought, you know what I'm talking about. They bought a car and they paid for it with their own money. They worked really hard their own money. They paid for the car, okay? And so they bought the car, and after having this really nice car, they couldn't really afford the gas because they bought the car. Or they couldn't really afford the insurance, or a month or two or 6 months down the road, all of a sudden they couldn't afford to pay the rent or put any food on the table or eat anything, or they were just bloke because they're buying this car. And so they come to the realization that they need money for other things. And so they come to, it's usually dad, you know what I'm saying, or your father-in-law or your dad or some rich relative or something like that. And you say, hey, man, I bought this car. I really love it. I don't really want to get rid of it. Would you, like, buy this car from me? So will you buy this car from me, and then I'll pay you back, and it'll still be mine. So they're like, yep. And so they give them some money for the car, and you know, supposedly now this other person owns the car, and you got the money. And so they pay back for maybe 3 or 4 months, and all of a sudden it seems like it's their car again. They're driving it and doing all the different things. And then like 2 years down the road, all of a sudden they get in the same bind, and they come back. Hey, will you buy this car from me? Because does anyone else know, ever heard of this type of thing going on? And so they buy the car again, and then about 2 years later, after it's already a piece of junk and they're in trouble again, they say, will you buy this car? And they buy it again. Does anyone know? God is an amazing God. He's a patient father. He's a loving father. Not only does he already own us, but he rebought us at a great price, which was the blood of Jesus. He redeemed us. And it seems like, I know he did it once, but it seems like he keeps doing it over and over for me. Does anyone else feel that way? He just keeps, with that same blood, bailing me out. Giving me a new hope and a new future. I keep messing up, and he keeps saying, son, we'll take care of this. You're his. And you know why you're his? Because you were created in his image. You're his treasure. And this whole earth is his. It all belongs to him. It's all his. It really, truly is. And this is just a little side note. the reason it's his is because he created it all. He created all of it. By his design, by his wisdom, by his hand, by his speaking, it was all created. No wonder our world wants you to believe that there was a big bang and it was all an accident and it's all evolved over the years. Because if we can get you to believe that, if we can get you to buy into that concept, if we can teach you that and say it long enough and strong enough and often enough and convincing enough, if we can get you to believe that we're all just accidents and it just all happened and we all just evolved out of primordial goo, if that happened, then it doesn't belong to God. And we don't have to honor him. And I can be God, which will be a real mess. But the truth is, he created it. And because he created it, it's all his. Every bit of it. All of it. Is that amazing news? You haven't got it yet, but that's pretty amazing stuff right there. And it's the truth. But it's only half the story, because what God's done with this entire creation is he's gone like this. Here. And he's given it to us to be stewards of all this in so many different ways. To put it in another way, because a lot of people don't understand the idea of stewards, what it means to be a steward of the resources. It's like this. It's like, Don, you open up a checking account, okay? And you put all of your assets in that checking account. Every penny that you've got is right there in the checking account, all right? And it's all yours, okay? And you, in your infinite wisdom, say to Will, Will, this is all mine here, but I'm going to put you as a co-signer on my checking account, and you have free access to every dime I've got here. You can write checks freely, use a debit card, however you want, whenever you want, for whatever you want. It's complete access to Will. All of a sudden, Will woke up. So what you've done is you've entrusted Will to be a steward of your resources. You're entrusting that he will use your resources in such a way that will bring you honor. You're trusting that you will not squander those, he will not squander those resources or use them just for his own desires and his own pleasure and his own whatever. You are giving them to him in such a way that you are entrusting to him that responsibility and that great power. That's what God has done. All that you have, even your ability to make more or do more that you think, your skills and things like that, those were all given to you by God. All of it. And he's entrusting it to you to do with it that which will bring him glory. Wow. But here's the cool thing, because some of us are thinking, uh-oh. But here's the cool thing. When God makes you the steward of this, you got to understand, he's got unlimited resources. Unlimited resources. Think of what God is opening up to you. What he's making available to you. But he's also going to make you accountable for what you do with his resources. There's a parable about it. There's a passage about it. You can look at, if you want it very plainly and very quickly and simply, Romans 14, verses 10 through 12, says this. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You, verse 10, you then, why do you judge your brother, or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all, listen to what it says, for we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God. Verse 12, so that each of us will give an account of himself to God and how we've used his resources. Wow. And he gives this parable of this idea that this guy who invested those resources in a way to bring his master glory, to increase his master's wealth. And what is the master's wealth? Is it really the minutes? No, he says the one who invests wisely and smartfully and with the master in mind, he says, I'm going to give you more. I'm going to give you more. That's pretty amazing. Huh. So, I'm at the end, so the rest of the story. Why is it so cool that my truck is sitting on Indian Head Road right now? Why am I so silly, giddy, happy about it? And I am. I am just like, this is so awesome. Of all the 15 years that I've been driving, 14 years that I've been driving that truck, we could tell you stories about this truck, couldn't we, Jody? It's absolutely hilarious. Jody has told me in so many different times, he goes, if I can quote you correctly, I cannot understand why this thing is not, what did you say, melted down into a pile of rubble, or this engine is melted down into a pile of rubble, because it has just been the craziest thing. When we bought this truck, it had to go through the auction line three different times before anyone would even put a bid on it. You know who that was? It was me. It had to go through three different times. Have been on it, and I finally bid on this truck, and they're like, yeah, take it. So I took it home, and then I tried to sell it to somebody else because I really didn't want it, right? Remember that? I tried to sell it to Joel Dickinson, and this would be a great truck for you, Joel. No, he says, I don't want it. So I've been driving this truck for 14 years, and I'm not happy because I think it's dead forever, because I think it's a simple fix. I really do. But anyway, so this truck has been crazy. I mean, it hardly ever breaks down except for when I loan it out once in a while. Anyway, so it's just been an amazing truck, and all the different things that I've gone to. If you knew where I've been this week, I mean, I've been to Peoria. I've been to Geneseo. I've been to the Quad Cities. I've been to the La Salle, Peru. I've been all over this week. When I was in Geneseo, it was pouring down rain at night. It could have broke down at any point in time during any one of those trips when I was a long ways away. But no, it breaks down a mile from my house. A mile from my house, it breaks down on a Sunday morning when I've got plenty of time. And not only that, it breaks down at a time that I am wondering whether I should be preaching the message that I'm preaching to you today. And when it broke down, I started laughing because as I was reading this book that I've been preaching out, that I've been getting these concepts from, the treasure principle, the thing that stood out to me, this entire chapter that God owns it all, and it just says it over and over in so many different ways, like I've been saying it to you. The one thing that stood out to me throughout this entire chapter as I'm reading this book is this illustration of John Wesley, the guy who helped create the Methodist Church. Not this one over here, but all the Methodist Church. There's a story of John Wesley that I've got highlighted, I've got underlined, I've got a little star, that John Wesley was coming home one day and a man met him on the horse saying, John Wesley, the greatest tragedy of all has happened. He says, your house is just burned to the ground. And John Wesley says, after a brief moment, I wish I would have brought with me because I'm not going to quote it correctly. No, the Lord's house has just burnt to the ground. And now he has freed me from one less obligation that I have to worry about. And I've read that over and over again. And I'm just thinking, how in the world can I get my mindset to that? That, you know what? The house isn't mine. The horses aren't mine. My children aren't even mine. They're on loan to me, to God, and I'm responsible for them to bring them up, to bring God glory. My truck isn't mine. Nothing that I have, not even my ability to stand up here and talk to you and say the things that I do, it's not mine. It's all his, and it's for his glory. And when the truck broke down, literally, I understood John Wesley's comment so much better. And it was the first thing I thought of rather than, oh, now I've got another bill, or, oh, how is this thing going to work out? Literally, the first thing that popped in my mind was, thank God, God's truck broke down. It's his, and I don't have to worry about it. It's his. I called my wife. She had to come pick me up. She was all tired and sleepy. It's his. And it's not just his when it's broke down. It's been his all along. And I want to use that truck or this mouth or that house or that horse or this chair or that pole for him. I want to be a good steward of all that he's given me. More than ever before in my entire life, I want to. I want him to change my heart. You know, we've had a little bit of rain here lately. Has anyone noticed? And last night we had a little bit of rain. Did anyone notice that? And in the middle of the rain, there'd be this big flash in the sky. Have anyone seen that big flash in the sky? What is that big flash in the sky? It's lightning. And when I see the big flash in the sky, I know what comes right after the flash. What comes right after the flash? Sometimes you have to wait for it. 1,000, 2,000. Thunder. You see, thunder always follows lightning. Whether you hear it or not, it's another thing. But it always follows lightning. When there's a lightning, there's thunder. And here's the amazing thing. Where there's grace, when you experience grace, true grace, when you experience the amazing forgiveness and understand the great price that was paid, that was given for me, when you recognize grace for what it truly is, the desire to give, to sacrifice, to lay it all down, will come afterwards. Because you recognize the price that was paid. I say all this because, I'm just going to say this flat out, my board is going to kill me right now probably. There's no guns in here, right? I say all this not because I want you to give to Walnut Community Bible Church. And I say that so sincerely, and I mean that with every bit of my heart. If you think I'm standing up here in any way, shape, or form trying to make you open your pocketbook to give to this church, you are absolutely wrong. As a matter of fact, if you want to give, you can give it anywhere you want to. Give it to one of our missionaries. Give it to Abigail Women's Foundation. You can give it wherever you want because it doesn't matter. Because I know God will provide for this body because I believe with all my heart we are trying to honor him. I really believe the reason we're in this right now is because he's wanting to change our heart, not our pocketbooks. He's wanting to change us and grow us into what he wants us to be. So my challenge to you is give. Give to any cause, any organization that is advancing the gospel message, that is a part of God's plan, that will bring him glory. Give. And see how God starts to change your heart. Don't wait till you feel like it, because the feeling and the joy comes afterwards. Giving sometimes is like giving birth. Not that I've ever done that, but leading up to it is very scary, yes. Very painful, yes. We try to get away from that, but it's always there. Something that we don't really want to experience. But when we do, and we've done, what joy comes. What satisfaction. What encouragement. That's what God wants us to experience. A joy that will never end. I'm done. Not really, but I'm done for today. How's that? Treasure principle number one that you need to understand is it's all God's. It's all his. Every bit of it. Every bit of it's his. And he made you the steward of it. He's put you in his checkbook. And one day, he's going to ask you to give an account of how you handled all of his resources. That's not a scary thing. That's an amazingly encouraging thing. Because he is a God who has unlimited resources. He's not worried or concerned about the balance in the checkbook. He's not even thinking about that. What he's thinking about is how he will receive praise and glory because he deserves it. Amen? Let's stand and sing.